What's going on, everybody out there in Kicking Out Podcast Nation? It's Sunday night. It's October 6th, 2024. So you know what that means. A brand new episode of the Kicking Out Podcast, streaming live on the Kicking Out Podcast Facebook page, YouTube channel, and Twitch channel. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button at Kicking Out Pod on all social media platforms. And if you're listening to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform, please make sure you're hitting that follow button, that subscribe button. Give us a five-star rating and review. We really appreciate it. I'm your host, Tanner Lee, the KOP Predictions Champion for 371 days now and counting. It is over a year. My co-host, Paul Zartman, the unwise man, is in the house. Shep is not yet, at least. Last week, we didn't think he was going to be, and he showed up. We'll see if he comes in or not this week. Paul, how are we doing tonight?
Good. I was wondering if you were ever going to get to introduce me, or if you were just going to ramble on about yourself for, you know, the next hour.
But I like to ramble sometimes. I like to ramble.
Yeah, yeah. You like to talk about yourself
from time to time. We got Steffi in the chat. Steffi, how are you doing? Majin says Paul looks different.
Yeah, Paul's got a hat on, and 2 weeks ago Paul shaved, so it's slowly growing back out. Actually, it wasn't even, it's been like just over a week. I did it like last Thursday.
Brandon Jay in the chat, what's going on, Brandon? Thanks for joining us this evening. So Paul, we got a lot to talk about tonight, man.
Yes, we do. It's been a busy, fun week.
It has. Starting with, you know, we were talking about it last week that AEW was going to get a new TV deal. Mm-hmm. We didn't know the exact details of it. Well, now we do.
We do. I'm excited for this.
Yeah. What? I mean, I'll read the details here and then get your thoughts.
Okay.
Let me pull them up here. So AEW is getting number closer to 185 million per year. Vanity first reported it was going to be 150 per year. This is from Warner Brothers Discovery. This is a 3-year deal with a fourth year as an option. And so this is going to include Dynamite and Collision staying on TBS and TNT, as well as simulcast with Max, which I think that's the biggest takeaway for me in the whole deal, simulcast with Max, because you're going to reach such a bigger audience. Mm-hmm. No mention of Rampage or True TV at all. So I think Rampage is getting scrapped in 2025. And on Max, you're going to eventually be able to get all of the past Dynamite and Collisions. No word on the pay-per-views, if you're going to be able to get the pay-per-view library. But as you can see, like behind me, if you've ordered pay-per-views in the past through Bleacher Report, Bleacher Report is no longer carrying those pay-per-views. So they are transferring over to the Triller TV, which that's why I got some AEW behind me here, which we'll get into momentarily. And also, if you are a Max subscriber for, I don't know, what is it, $9.99, $11.99 a month? I don't know. I know they got different tiers. You can get the pay-per-views for a discounted rate. So unlike the WWE deal with Peacock, you won't automatically get the pay-per-views for just being a monthly subscriber, but you will get a discount on it. What are all your thoughts on the whole deal, Paul?
Well, first, I want to talk about Bleacher Report, because this is what frustrates me, okay? I get them switching it over, but if you already subscribe to Max, you can get BR Sports or Bleacher Report Sports. So why did those not just transfer over to the Max subscribers as well? Because I mean, I've had Max the whole time,
right?
And I think that it would have been fair for us Max subscribers to get those if we've already bought them, since we already have BR Sports on Max now. But overall, I think this is a good idea. I understand you and I were texting about this a little bit. I understand not getting the pay-per-view right off of the bat. You still have to purchase it. And again, yeah, they still need that pay-per-view money. And I think that's one reason they're not doing this. Now, had AEW been around for 20 years, it probably would have been included in that. Now,
And they're not getting billion-dollar deals like the WWE is, let's be honest.
Right, right. I think if you're one of the higher, I think the discount should go depending on which tier you're on. Because, I mean, like right now, I downgraded to the ads package.
Yeah, so I got the ads package. I got the ads package.
I mean, if I were to bump up, I don't think we should both get the same discount. I think if you're a higher tier, you should get a little bit more of a discount. Sure. And that, I think that'd be smart on Max's part, because then it's like, okay, look, we want you to get this higher package. And for that, you get X percent more off of the pay-per-view deal.
Yeah.
But
I'm hoping the pay-per-view price lands around $20-$25 a month. I think that's pretty fair. I mean, I've been, you know, you and I have been doing the $50 a month. And I mean, we do it because we're big fans, but it can hurt at times, especially when like the All In All Out you have. Now they did do a bundle. If you were able to take advantage of the bundle, they did do a bundle this year with that. And next year we won't have to worry about that. But no, I think All In All, this is a good deal for everybody involved. Still interested to see if Shockwave becomes a thing on Fox, whether that's actual Fox the Network or Fox Sports One. That's completely different. And if it does come to fruition, sounds like that could be a Tuesday or a Thursday night show. Mm-hmm. And another interesting thing, a part of this negotiation, the new TV deal is now if AEW wants to do Dark or Elevation, they can.
Yeah, because they can run it on Max prior to the start.
Or they can even run on their YouTube channel. That part of the last agreement was why they stopped doing it was Warner Brothers Discovery didn't want AEW doing that pretty much. They wanted exclusive rights. Now that's been negotiated out. So it'll be.
And that's smart on TK's part, because again, you do lose that extra time frame that you could have on the YouTube channel or now on Max even.
Right. Right. So Steven Chambers in the chat. What's going on, Steven?
What's up, he said, Steven?
Not doing two night pay-per-views, $100.
Yeah.
Brandon J said he's looking forward to Shockwave. Yeah. If that becomes a thing, I think that could be pretty cool, especially if it's owned by Fox. I think that'd be neat. Mm-hmm. Steven Chambers said maybe do Rampage.
Yeah.
So we'll see. No mention of ROH in the new TV deal as well. So we will see.
Still gotta buy Honor Club for that.
Yep. Which I gotta be honest, I do not subscribe to. So
neither do I. Don't worry.
But you know, the IWC that's negative towards AEW or against AEW, they keep moving the goalposts, because for all year long they're telling us there's gonna be no new TV deal, at least with Warner's Discovery. Well, there is. So
they were saying they're going to end up like TNA on some random channel that you have to get through a specific company to get. And here they are right back on Warner.
I mean, I'm not saying that AEW is as popular right now as it was in 2019 or 2021. No, I'm not saying that. But this deal is going to make them profitable. They're still popular, just maybe not as popular as they once were. And it doesn't mean 5 years from now they're going to get as popular as they once were, if not even more popular than they've ever been. I mean, this keeps AEW around for the foreseeable future, and it's a good thing for AEW. It's a good thing for the talent. It's a good thing for the business overall. It gives talent options. So I'm excited for it, and I'm glad we can finally stop speculating about it.
Yeah.
So a lot of other stuff to speculate. Majin, you hear that? It's the rage and the tears of all the AEW naysayers when the deal was announced. They're still enraged. Oh yeah. They will be too. So.
And we're not quite there yet, but we're getting close to the time frame that WCW is really relevant.
Right. Right. So that pisses Eric Bischoff off to no end.
Oh, of course it does.
To no end.
He's even kind of not directly, but said that he only went on there because he knew that they weren't going to be around as long as WCW was.
I think he holds a grudge that Tony didn't give him a contract after a couple of his appearances in 2020. I really do.
Well, would you want to? I mean, if you were running a company, would you give Bischoff a contract?
Nah, it's history. History speaks for itself.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
I mean, the Monday Night Wars ran just shy of 6 years, and we're at the 5-year mark for AEW now. So, really,
right?
They make it another year. They've done better than WCW.
Right. Right. So yeah, that was a big talking point for tonight's show. Some other stuff I wanted to get to. Did you see today's report from Fightful about Keith Lee?
I did not.
All right. So I will pull this up so I can get it word for word and don't
butcher it. Anything
wrong. Yeah. It's an update on his status. This comes from Fightful Select. Keith Lee still isn't ready for a return to the ring after being sidelined for 9 full months. Many of our subscribers were inquiring regarding the status of former AEW Tag Team Champion Keith Lee. And following up, we were told that Keith Lee has still yet to be cleared for a return to action due to an undisclosed medical issue. Lee was planning to take on Swerve Strickland at AEW World's End last year, which was to finally capitalize on the two splitting almost 1 year prior. Unfortunately, in the days prior to the match, Lee was sidelined and has not returned. He's not been a regular in TV tapings in quite some time and hasn't been factored in creative. Mm. Keith Lee remains on the AEW roster and is still under contract with the company. We wish him well in his recovery.
Okay.
So, yeah. Hopefully Keith Lee gets healthy and getting back on TV soon. I just feel bad for him because most of his AEW run, he's been ill or out with injury or something going on. So.
And you know, that's Keith Lee, Adam Cole. Those are the type of situations that I hate to see happen because both of them have basically been sidelined since they signed with the company. And then you get the IWC who says, oh, look, he should have stayed over here.
Right.
Because he wasn't injured as much.
Right. So, yeah, it's, I mean, they didn't use him the best when he was healthy, but he was a tag team champion with Swerve at one time, and they did have that fun little rivalry that, unfortunately, they've never got to capitalize on. So right. Hopefully when he gets healthy and ready to roll, they can get him back on TV and in some stories. Yeah. I think he's a very talented guy. So.
Oh, absolutely. And hopefully when he comes back and is healthy, we can squash some of this bull crap on the internet of, you know, you should have been in WWE, stayed there. Well,
yeah,
you know, here's my 2 cents on this. We'll go on a rabbit hole 13 minutes in. Why not? Rabbit here's hole. The thing. When Adam Cole and Keith Lee, I'll use those two since everybody always talks about those two. When they were in WWE, they were younger.
Mm.
You have to stop and think about that. They were younger. When you add another 5-10 years onto their age, not even just the length of their career, but their age given as well, you're going to get injured easier. Right. You know, John Cena, The Rock, Austin, Michaels, H, half of the people CM on this Punk. Poster behind me did the same thing. They stopped wrestling as much the older they got because they were getting injured easier. That's the same thing we're seeing here. There's no need to say, well, it's because they're in AEW. It's because they're not in WWE. Okay. Cody wasn't injured hardly at all, except storyline really in AEW. Go to WWE, two injuries right out the gate. I mean, you could say the same thing there, but people don't.
Yeah, I think, Steven, I think you're right. I think Keith Lee, at least in the past, I know he's had some heart issues. So I know he had COVID real bad, too. I don't want to speculate, but
Right.
So, Paul, I always, you know, put some wrestling on behind me.
Yeah.
And since I got the Triller app up and Bleacher Report transferred most of the pay-per-views I purchased in the past. Not all of them yet. Slowly, but surely we're getting there. Why don't you pick which AEW pay-per-view of the past I put on?
Mm. All right. Well, they've been around 5 years. Mm-hmm. You got Double or Nothing, the original Double or Nothing?
I will check. That was one I don't think transferred over. But.
Oh, man. Man, that was a good one.
Oh, that was a real good one.
If not,
I got all of 23. It looks like all of 22.
As long as we don't put on any sparklers, I'm good.
No, the only 2019 is Fighter Fest and Fight for the Fallen.
Oh, and man. The only
21 is Full Gear. And then 20. I got all of them 22 and all of 23.
All right, let's kick the door open. Let's go Forbidden Door.
Which one?
First one.
All right, 22?
Yeah.
All right.
Why not?
Well, there we go. AEW New Japan Forbidden Door 2022 now playing behind me.
Okay. So, and with that being said, we now know what we're watching. What are you drinking tonight?
I got to find the graphic here.
There we go.
Nothing too exciting tonight, but it is a little more exciting than just the H2O water. I got Arnold Palmer, half iced tea, half lemonade, but it's not the alcoholic
version. No, it's the Arizona version.
Yes. The light version.
I am drinking caffeine.
All right.
Full throttle.
All right.
And then if I happen to finish that off, I got good old Mountain Dew.
Well, there you go. Caffeine on top of caffeine.
I went with two drinks tonight since Shep may or may not be here. He always has two, so I figured I'd do the same tonight.
That's fair. Well, what did you think about Dynamite this week? It was the 5th year anniversary episode of Dynamite. I thought it was a pretty good episode. It was... not the best Dynamite I've ever seen, not the best of the year, but I thought it was good. It was interesting with a close to a half hour overrun.
Yeah. You know, that was one of the things that disappointed me. I don't mind the overrun. 2.5 hours, I think it was a great amount of wrestling, because still we didn't have 25 minutes of wrestling and 2 hours of talking, even with it being a 5 year anniversary episode. But it took away from the surprise that it was going to get the overrun, because TV had to automatically block it out that you were going to get that extra half hour. So I text this during Dynamite to you and Shep. I said, okay, so TK tweeting out about we've got a big overrun tonight. So past 10:30?
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if legally he has to say something if they're going to have an overrun. Like tweet something. I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't know, because, well, again, I think back to, you know, when Raw used to go to 10:05, 10:15, you never got any announcements, but social media wasn't around then. So
Stephen Chambers already saying Ospreay, Ricochet, and Takeshka triple threat for the international title is going to be the match of the night next Saturday at WrestleDream, which we will be having a WrestleDream prediction show next week. We're just not sure when.
Yeah.
Probably Thursday or Friday night. It's not going to happen Saturday.
No.
So be on the lookout on the Kicking Out Podcast social media channels. We'll discuss amongst the three of us, and we'll see what everybody's schedule looks like.
And you know, I gave Shep the opportunity to name the title, and he still hasn't done that yet, so he probably forgot.
There's no probably. Guarantee you he forgot.
I was trying to be nice.
I think he forgot during the show last week. But
I think so, because he's like, give me half an hour. I already have a name brewing. And then half hour later, he said nothing about it.
He was falling asleep on the
stream. He was.
Which he's done that in the past. He's done that in the past.
Yes, there was one time you weren't able to join us, and I was just rambling on and didn't realize he's over here going.
Brandon J said Ricochet should win. I definitely have thoughts. I got some thoughts.
I have thoughts.
Speaking of Ricochet, the man out of this world, he and Will Ospreay kicked off Dynamite with a match for that international championship. You know me. You know the style of wrestling I like. I like the flippity flops.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed this match. However, I did too. Didn't like the ending.
No.
If you're going to have... I was fine with it just being a draw. Yeah. And no five more minutes or, you know, restart the match like they did. And then have Takeshita come in and interfere. Do one of two things. Have him interfere, throw the match out, or just call it a draw. To do both, a little too much.
Yeah, and one thing that really got me is commentary was talking about both men's shoulders were down. The ref did the right thing. Yeah. So if you weren't looking at your TV, which I wasn't, I was doing something else at that moment, still in my living room, but not watching, I thought it ended in a double pin there for a second. Mm-hmm. And then I heard the five more minutes and I went, okay, so it was a time limit draw.
No, that maybe I misspoke. It wasn't a time limit draw. It was a double pin.
Okay.
He counted all the shoulders down, but I called it a draw just as nobody won over the other. That's my fault. That's my fault.
Well, no. I saw tweets online too calling it a time limit draw.
There was no time limit draw. It was just both guys' shoulders to the mat.
See, and I think that became because they were chanting five more minutes and they gave them five more. Well, they said the match would restart. There was no guarantee that it was five more minutes. Yeah. But I think having Takeshita come in and interfere took away from it.
Yeah.
Because
I like him in the mix because I think he's ready to hold a title, a singles title.
I do,
but, too. But here's the thing I'm confused about, Paul. We came away from All In, All Out season. I thought he was going to be next in line for Okada.
Yeah.
They were teasing that. And then they just kind of push that to the side. That's one thing that bugs me about AEW. They do that quite often.
They do. And oftentimes we end up learning that there was a reason behind it, such as an undisclosed injury or something. But both of these men are still having matches.
Right.
I mean, if we wouldn't have had Okada in any other matches or Takeshita not be in matches for a while, fine. But we get done with that while we're still teasing this and we go straight into them being in other stuff. And it's like, all right, that was pointless.
Yeah. But it's hard not to agree with Steven predicting that the triple threat might be the match of the night, because absolutely. I think it's going to be great, and I'm not going to show my cards yet because I already know who I got winning in my head, but I'm not showing my cards yet. But
well,
Ospreay against Ricochet, I believe this was the ninth time they faced, eighth or ninth time. Good match. I did enjoy it. Yeah. Just didn't like the ending.
And I will say, I'm not doing it this week, but the son and I have been playing a lot of 2K23 and even starting to dabble a little bit into 2K24. And at some point in the future, again, not this week, but in the future, I am going to do what I've seen some other big podcasts do. I'm going to set up the card. I'm going to let AI run all the matches, and I'm going to take the winners from each one of those matches.
I love it. I think that's a fun strategy.
So I don't know. I told him I wouldn't do it this week, but who knows? I might.
Yeah, he might. Or if not, or if you try your normal strategy or a new strategy, it doesn't work, you can do it full gear.
Yeah. Full gear's coming right up. So
it is. Stephen Chambers, he's predicting MJF returns, costing Ospreay the match, and Takeshita wins the title. Interesting. Interesting. Majin, Takeshita might win by pinning Ricochet. Could see that. Once again, I got a theory and a prediction in my mind, but I gotta hold it on tap till our Wrestle Dream prediction show. So, but after that match, we're backstage, saw Renee Paquette chatting with Mercedes, Monet, and Camille, and MVP approached them and hand Mercedes a business card.
Yeah,
a little interesting there.
I don't know what she said. I literally muted it while she was on. I heard what Renee said. I heard what MVP said. But every time she started talking, my thumb just hit the mute button.
You are just something.
I can't. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Hey, my wife's right. My wife doesn't like her at all. So
thank you. Your wife has a brain, unlike you.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm not going to touch that one, okay?
Yeah.
The Majin said, you keep her away from the Hurt Syndicate. I don't think she joins. I just think it was interesting. I wouldn't mind a woman being in that group, though.
But not her. Maybe her muscle, but not her.
Yeah. Maybe even like Red Velvet.
Man. Yeah.
Queen Aminata eventually.
You saying keep this all African American?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I am. So, Stephen Chambers, if Mercedes joints MVP, Camille gets the boot. And Steffi says, no, just no.
Yeah. If she joins the Hurt Syndicate, it'll be known as the Hurt Syndicate for another reason, not because they hurt people in storylines, but because they actually hurt people. Or she does.
We saw Hangman attack Colton Gunn and Austin Gunn backstage. Yeah. So trying to take them out before his match with Juice. So, and I called what was going to happen in that match.
Oh, yeah.
On our Twitter. So,
yeah.
Well, you like to mute Mercedes. I like to mute the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho.
I normally am right there with you, but I didn't get there quite a way before he made the line that I agree with. The one line that he has said in 5 years that I have agreed with.
What was that?
Something about, I don't remember exactly how it went, but proving the haters wrong.
Yeah.
The naysayers.
Yeah. Well, he, Big Bill, and Brian Keith were in the ring, of course. And basically, long story short, he challenges Mark Briscoe to a match for the ROH World Championship at WrestleDream because he wants to beat the Nueve.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell are we doing here?
I don't know. Ask him. He's behind you.
I know. I see that. I'm about to turn my TV off. I get why they did the Ocho.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he and Claudio and that rivalry in ROH, but come on. I don't want Jericho wrestling for a singles title. I don't even want Jericho in singles competition. Tags and trios is fine at this point, but this just, it just feels like filler to me, Paul. It feels like nothing.
It does. It's like and here's the thing. If we're doing this for the ROH title, there we go. He said they made supposed experts look like idiots. Thank you for that, Majin. Somebody had the line. I knew.
Nah, he loves himself some Learning Tree, so he wouldn't miss that line.
Yeah. But to me, it almost feels like attempting to put the ROH world title on Jericho was just like they did with AEW.
Yeah.
Put the title on a big name. Okay, so is ROH getting a new TV title deal? Is that why we're doing this? No, they're not. So don't even do it.
No.
Unless they seriously kept that one completely under wraps and are just going to drop a bombshell on us.
I just don't see how it's popular enough, to be honest.
No.
I did like when Jericho's bringing up Jay's name, Mark punched him, said, keep my brother's name out of your mouth.
Yeah.
So accept the challenge. I did like that because then we saw Mark get serious. So, I wish Jericho would have challenged Briscoe on behalf of Big Bill. Call me crazy. I think Big Bill is ready for a singles title run.
Okay.
And I wish Shep was here to weigh in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, they change his name. Call him William or Will or anything other than Big Bill.
Yeah, like Ma just said, he said Mark couldn't beat him, but maybe Jay could have. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we will have to predict the ROH title match. It's part of the card.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hangman, Adam Page, and Juice Robinson met. This was one of the ones I saw the IWC complaining about. You know, the referee doesn't do countouts, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. It was an enjoyable match. In the end, Hangman got the win. Because he low-blowed Juice when Juice was going for the Juices Loose when the ref wasn't looking and hit the Buckshot Lariat. This is what I predicted right earlier in the night. I'm glad I did so after the match. Hangman took off his cowboy buckle belt. He was using to choke Robinson, but Jay White's music hits. He came out and blindsided Adam Page from behind with a clothesline, fired off some lefts and rights through the crowd, fired off some chops, sent him crashing through table setup onto one of the barricades. So Jay White and Hangman at WrestleDream, sign me up.
Yeah.
Good to see the Switchblade back.
Yes. 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 And a couple comments here that I think you're going to get us caught up on.
Yeah, Stephen Chambers said Bill better off leaving Learning Tree. Yeah, I think
I agree.
I thought it would do more for him and Brian Keith than it has.
Yeah, I think it would if anybody else was running this faction.
And Majin, ROH TV titles on 0 Hour 2. Remember when we were supposed to separate the two? Remember? Yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah. I think it's because I honestly think that when TK said that, he was expecting a TV deal to come for ROH that never did. And not enough people went over and bought Honor Club to watch it. So he kind of went, well, what do I do now?
What do you think of Jay White as a face, baby face?
It's weird. It's different. Weird. It's
different, but the right direction for now, I think.
And we kind of got a little bit of Jay White as a face when we had the Bang Bang Scissors game. And that was fun.
Man, I forgot about that.
So if we do something like that, maybe not as jokey, as fun, I'm okay with it.
Majin here defending his guy, Jericho. You're all wrong. It does loads for them as far as Big Bill, Brian Keith. For one, they're on TV a hell of a lot more than they were before. Another, they get to pick the mind of Jericho for an extended period of time. He also says when they split from Jericho, they won't be used as much, and picking his brain has helped everyone who has. Steffi's yelling my name, and she thinks Majin has lost it.
I agree. I agree.
He spiked his maple syrup. Somebody did.
I mean, he's not wrong to an extent. They do get to pick his... But Jericho's gone off the deep end.
I just
think we're getting at maybe off TV, but on TV, apart from loads.
Yeah, Stephen Chambers saying he drank too much of the bubbly. Steffi saying he had too much Pink Whitney. Yeah, Maja saying, look at Sammy, look at Wardlow, look at Proud and Powerful. Where are all of them? Well, Sammy got knocked out. ROH the other day, and he's been doing some good stuff with ROH with Dustin. Wardlow's supposedly hurt with a knee injury. Proud and Powerful, you know, Ortiz is in the company. They're not doing anything with him. Santana's off as the Hog House of Glory champion, and he's in TNA and doing a lot of work on the independents. So I don't know. I was fine with Jericho for a while. I was agreed with him being the first AEW world champion. I understand why they did it. AEW's not a thing if you can't sign Chris Jericho, in all honesty, in my opinion. But now in October 2024, his storylines and his feuds just are not interesting to me. I'm sorry. Because if he wasn't in the gets people sucked in the Jericho vortex for 6 months at a time, then that'd be something. If it only lasts for a month, 2 months, but his stories just last forever to where you're trying to bleed everything you can out of them, and there's nothing for it to bleed halfway through.
And I mean, like, for crying out loud, we saw Hook and Jericho.
Oh my God.
What feels like all of 2024 to this point.
Honestly, bringing
back Orange Cassidy, and then now we go completely different direction again.
I think it's because, you know, he and MJF, that works so well in the Inner Circle and in the Pinnacle. But you don't have to do it every time you're in a feud.
Yeah.
That's just me. So Jack Perry, we found out who's going to be his challenger. It's Shibata. I wrestled Dream for TNT title. I'm sure this match will be good, but this is another one I don't get too excited about.
No.
I don't know. Shibata's a great wrestler. First time going for this title. He's gone for the Continental or the International, one or the other, if not both, before. But he's never went for the TNT. But I don't know. I just feel like he could have got somebody with a little more higher prestige to go for it. But we'll see. Steven says Perry retains. Once again, I can't show my cards yet.
But. Yeah, we're not showing our cards quite yet. Sorry, folks.
Majin, once again on Jericho here. I do agree he needs to take a break. Don't get me wrong, but to say he has no use is just asinine.
Oh, we're not saying he has no use. We're just saying we're tired of his use.
Yeah. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, turned Pittsburgh into Britsburg when she faced Serena Deeb.
Once again.
I actually enjoyed this match, but a lot of the IWC crapped all over it.
There were a couple spots that it was like, what was that? But overall, the two made it work.
It was better than her match against Mercedes at All In.
Yes. Yes. And I will say this to the IWC. If you thought that match was crap, go watch Nia Jax's match versus Bayley from Bad Blood. That was terrible. Bayley carried that match, but that was terrible.
Majin said, and this is where I went to the bathroom. This was his bathroom break match.
Oh, of course.
Stephen Chambers said, great match, Britt and Serena. Yeah, I thought it was. I enjoyed it. And I like when Britt wrestles in Pittsburgh. It's fun. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you hated her coming out with draped in the terrible towel flag and all the terrible towels going there as a Cleveland guy.
You know
guy,
what? As a Cleveland guy, I hated it. But as a Baker fan, it's nice to see.
Yeah. I do wish she would have got some mic time. I thought they missed the ball there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, just something. Post-match even just say, and once again, I've done it. But again, she got attacked. And I'm thinking, yep. I'm wondering if she actually did tweak her knee in that match because she couldn't get out of the one side of the ring there for a minute. But
yeah, after the match, we saw Serena Deeb attack Britt Baker. Got her in half Boston Crab, but Queen Aminata, his music hits, ran down, saved her. We saw Mariah May also at ringside. Then after this match, we saw a heated verbal exchange between her and Willow. And we learned over the weekend on Collision, Willow versus Britt this week on Dynamite, with the winner taking on Mariah at WrestleDream.
Okay. So, yeah.
Which I think is the right direction because I think Willow's deserving of the shot.
Yeah.
Britt's your big name. I get it. But to throw her in the mix already, especially after she lost against Mercedes, I wasn't all right with. So for her having to overcome Willow to get that title shot, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
And don't forget, yeah, we are on Tuesday this week.
Yes, thank you. I did forget. It's Title Tuesday. Yes, thank you. Completely forgot. I would have figured it out come Tuesday. But a few comments I want to catch up on. Steffi said, and Liv's match was horrid. Yeah, that was the Liv and Rhea Ripley and the finish. That was.
And I like both of them. But yeah, you know, I'm just going to be like the ref and, oh no, you're attacking him. Hold on. Oh, wait, there's an attack going on over here. I need to go look this way now after it's already happened.
Majin, I love both, but Britt really brought Serena down in this match. Stephen Chambers, cool seeing Queen getting more time. Yeah, I think you can tell Tony's pretty high on her. Mm-hmm. This is what happens when he's high on a woman's talent. You start seeing more and more all of a sudden.
Unless your name's Brandy.
We don't have enough time. Majin says he has a rant about Mariah's reign so far. Ran away there.
Yeah, we'll get it up on the screen when you're done.
Yeah, and Steven brings up good points. Title Tuesday due to the baseball playoffs, MLB playoffs going on TBS.
Go Cleveland.
Go Yankees. I think there's a good chance they meet up in the ALCS.
I think so. There may be a podcast that's all Shep because neither one of us will be able to be on here.
That would be entertaining. Throwing Shep to the wolves and make him do it by himself.
Oh, yeah. No, I think we'll just be yelling and screaming at each other the whole time.
Steffi says, go Phillies. Good win for the Phillies today. Tied up with the Mets 1-1. All right, here's Maja's rant. TK has to keep plans going for people after they win the title. Mariah was hot until she got the title. Now her match quality, the need to see her, hell, her overall persona has gone down by far. She felt like her own hot character while she was chasing. Now she still feels like a Now she still feels like a cheap copy of old Toni Storm throughout her reign so far.
Agreed.
I don't really have anything to disagree there.
This is unfortunately something that's happened a lot in the women's division. The chases are great, but once they become champion, it's just like, oh, hey, they're champion.
Yep. Private Party won very quickly over the Iron Savages.
Very quickly.
And then after the match, they called out the Young Bucks, challenged them to a world title shot right here, right now. Young Bucks came out, said they appear agreeing to Private Party's challenge, but Matthew Jackson then says they will be backing down due to having limited dates. Jack Perry appears out of nowhere, attacks Private Party. Wow. Matthew joins in, but Shibata comes out, evens the odds. Then we see CD Christopher Daniels come out. He announces a 6-man tag between the Elite and Private Party and Shibata on Rampage. And Shibata and Private Party went over the Elite because the Jacksons made the same mistake they did back in 2019 in one of the first episodes of Dynamite, trying to go for the TK driver and got rolled up.
Yep. Yep. I think that whole scenario and how we've seen this multiple times, tonight's podcast title is perfect. Who's calling the shots?
We'll get in that in a little bit.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know. But I mean, even that fits into that.
Sure. Well, and you know, I watch bits and pieces of Collision. That's why I'm kind of recapping Collision at the same time here. The Dynamite, when we're talking about things that happen on Dynamite. Private Party went over in the number one contenders title match over House of Black. And I don't even remember who else was in it, but they went over. So it's Private Party and the Young Bucks at Wrestle Dream for the tag titles. Which I'm glad Private Party's finally getting used well and used in title shots.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Chambers, like the Outrunners, but I really feel bad for the Grizzled Young Vets. Like the Grizzled Young Vets. I like them too. But yeah. I am an Outrunners guy. We all three have been on the podcast since we saw them getting squashed a couple times down in Indianapolis on Dynamite. And they are hot right now, and they are moving merch for AEW. So AEW is strapping the rocket to these guys.
Yep.
It's fun.
That's what happens when, you talk about, does TK listen to the fans? Well, yeah, the fans, I mean, not often do just some jobber team come in and just keep getting booked over and over and over again, even if it's as jobbers, even if it's just 5-minute matches, if you're lucky. And then to just strap the rocket to him like he's done, because he realized the fans really like these guys.
I mean, I'm looking at the top sellers for AEW. And right now, they're one of their shirts, their Miami Muscle is 11th overall. That's not just for shirts. That's for everything.
Yeah.
And then they have another one that's 19th. So that's for the week. It is cool to see FTR Summit Coffee, that all proceeds are going to go to Hurricane Relief Fund. That's the number one selling shirt right now.
Absolutely. And it deserves to be.
If you go to monthly, the Outrunners t-shirt is number 5 overall and the second best selling shirt behind Ospreay's limited edition Assassin's Creed shirt.
So, which, yeah, because everybody went and bought that thing because it's limited edition.
And even after that, their Meat Spin shirt and the Running Wild shirt are top 10 selling shirts for the month. So they're moving merch.
They are.
Majin said, rule of three, it's going to happen again when the Bucks drop the belts. And Steven brings up a good point. Please note Stokely scouting Private Party.
Yes, that's always nice to see.
Well, and it looks like he and Statlander aren't a thing anymore. That was kind of revealed in Collision. Another kind of like the Okada Takeshita stuff. I don't understand why they're doing this direction, but
no. And I think I saw something on
that. I don't understand what's going on.
I saw something on Twitter X. Sorry. Whatever you call it, Tanner. It's Twitter for me. I'm old.
No, I still like calling it Twitter, but I try to be proper at times.
Screw PC culture. Anyway, I saw something that said Born Again or Rebirth or something. It was really weird how they weirded it around her, but that's how I knew she turned, because, again, I didn't watch Collision. I was watching Bad Blood. I'll admit that.
Yeah, I watched Bad Blood last night. The end of it. So live. So,
yeah. Yeah, see, I didn't see the tail end of the main event, but I did hear what happened. But I did watch everything up until then.
Steffi is forever Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Majin with a good comment there, too. Taking a shot at Elon Musk. Can't,
yeah.
Can't disagree there. Not a fan of the guy.
Nope.
Backstage, we saw Renee and MVP, where MVP was looking to make an announcement. Prince Nana interrupts, confronts MVP about what happened to them last week, said he'll lace up the boots right now because he used to be a wrestler. But then MVP's like, points over to a guy.
The complaint department.
The complaint department. Camera pans over. It's Shelton Benjamin. Introduced the AEW fans, announces that he handles all complaints and he's all elite. And Shelton got a huge pop from the crowd. Loved it. The golden standard. Well deserved.
Yes, this is two big pops in a row, 2 weeks in a row for these two individuals.
Number three's a coming.
MVP kind of got a little bit of a pop when they went backstage and they said that they were talking to MVP. And then as soon as Shelton popped on that screen, just as big a pop, it's going to be fantastic when all three of them are here.
Mon said, big boy Lash coming at the pape. Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to predict.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for it. I thought they were really good as a faction in WWE, and for whatever reason, the WWE pulled the plug on them far too soon. So happy to see all three of them get a fresh start in a new company with new creative.
Yeah.
Because I think, man, a lot of my wrestling fandom growing up was Shelton Benjamin IC title runs.
Oh, man, those were fantastic. Fun.
I'll never forget the night of the draft where he gave Triple H everything he wanted. Mm-hmm. Triple H got the win, but where Shelton, you know, with the famous, maybe taking the most gnarly sweet chin music ever.
Yeah.
Shelton was, man, he was so good.
So good.
So good.
And again, he's one of those dudes that didn't get the big title runs.
And he and Lashley don't age. A lot of wrestlers, when they age, they start, like, their shoulders start getting smaller and stuff.
I don't know what they're bigger doing now than he was when he was IC champion. Yeah.
They're drinking the water like they did on Tuck Everlasting, but or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was the name of it, right? The book and the movie, Tuck Everlasting.
I think so.
All right, I just remember reading it and seeing the movie in elementary school where they drink the water and you can live forever. Blah blah blah.
That's like 90% of the things I read. So you know.
Yeah. Well, Shelton pinned Hunter twice and they didn't capitalize on it. Yep. The main event of the night was a weird stipulation. I didn't have a problem with it. I understand the stipulation, but it was one.
MJF didn't.
Well, that was classic. That was one on the graphic I had to read like three times. So you had both the World Championship and the Continental Championship on the line. Continental Championship was only for the first 20 minutes. So the match went past 20 minutes and the Continental title stip was thrown out and it was just the World Championship.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how during the main event, when it hit the 20 minute mark, it flashed up with the AEW World Championship, indicating that this was now just for that.
Yeah. Yeah. But a fun match. You knew it was going to be a good match between these guys. Yeah. But you also knew it was going past 20 because the overrun and Okada was just not dropping this title to Danielson. Right. Danielson's not going to be a double champ at this point in his career. And he knew Danielson wasn't dropping this title before WrestleDream.
Yeah.
So, but what do you think of the finish where we saw Claudio and Pac appear in the crowd kind of as a distraction and then Danielson winning via roll-up?
I'm okay with it. Because, you know, Danielson doesn't always have to submit or make somebody pass out to win a match. And that's what we've seen a lot of throughout his reign in AEW. So when you go old school and you get that quick roll up, I'm all for it. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the distraction because there for a minute, you're like, okay, they're coming after Danielson. And then it was screwing with Okada and you're like, oh, maybe. Yep. And then, you know, because they didn't show up when Danielson was on top. They showed up when Okada was on top. And so that's normally when it's a, okay, they're coming to help Danielson. So you're, the fan base got kind of that tease that, eh, maybe we're just screwing with you. And then they get in there and they go to help him up just to attack him. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, right when I saw them show up, I'm like, oh, they want to make sure that Danielson has the title going into WrestleDream so Mox can take it off of him. That was my first thought right away.
Yeah, yeah.
And after the match, we saw Okada beat down Danielson out of frustration, stormed to the back. He flipped all of them off. We saw Claudio and Pac then enter the ring, hold Danielson in place for John Moxley. Moxley then stormed out in the ring with Marina Shafir, told Danielson that he didn't want any of this. He says if any of this was up to him, he would have put Danielson out of his misery years ago. And the interesting thing was, I think it was Excalibur. I don't remember what announcer. It might have been Shivani. They said something to the lines of, who's putting Moxley up to this? Basically, who's calling the shots? So right when they drop that, I'm like, yeah, it's definitely somebody. It's not just Moxley's persona. Like, you know, it's not just his new character. Somebody's pulling the trigger.
Mm-hmm. Who's forcing Mox to do this? I think's what it, and I think it was Excalibur.
Yeah,
it wasn't Nigel.
No, no. Which I forgot to mention, we didn't see Taz on commentary.
Yeah,
and he got attacked in the parking lot. So Hook last night at Collision called out whoever attacked him, face him at Title Tuesday. I kind of think it's Christian. Because of the Hook line sinkered line, Christian said in a promo right after we saw Hook.
Okay.
I either think it's Christian. Christian or a turning Samoa Joe turning heel on Hook.
Okay. All right.
One of those two. Okay. But Paul, who do you think's pushing the buttons? Pulling the triggers, calling the shots for
do you have Mox to ask
in the BCC. Are we still calling them the BCC? Are they still the BCC or are they
going to get a new know. Name? At one point, I think it was last week, they referred to it as Moxley's new group. This week, I didn't really hear them mention BCC at all.
You know, storyline, the guy, there's one guy's storyline that makes sense, but it can't happen because he's left AEW and he's under WWE contract. That's William Regal.
Yeah.
Storyline would be perfect for Regal to come back.
And even Mox referencing the Lord.
Yes.
He had a line about the Lord, their Lord or something in one of his early promos.
And I see it in the comments here. I've seen all over IWC. Mod says it's Shane O'Mac. Is that who you think it is, Paul? Do you think it's Shane McMahon?
I think so. Honestly.
I'm leaning towards that too, even though Brian Alvarez of the Wrestling Observer said he doesn't think it is. But man, I just think it's, but also it's like, is it too obvious?
See, that's where I'm at. Is it's almost. That's the frustrating thing. Nobody else makes sense.
I mean, if it's.
Because it wouldn't be Copeland.
No, and if it's a new guy coming in like I'm struggling with the name. Sammy Callahan, not big enough, in my opinion. The guy who runs Josh Barnett, who runs Bloodsport. Nah.
No.
Like, you got to make sure this is a good payoff.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, you got to have this be a big name, even if it is. Too obvious at this point that it's Shane O'Mac.
Yeah.
I mean, who else, in all honesty, who else could it be?
I don't think it is Sammy Callahan. I was just trying to think of somebody, you know, Mox has history with, but why would Mox listen to Sammy? I wouldn't say Sammy above Mox. So
it's not going to be MJF.
And Shane's got history with all these, with Moxley, with Shafir, Well, not really history with Pac or Claudio, but they were in the company together. But so
and that's the thing. This group and post beatdown, we get Yuta saying that you know, he's not, he's his own man, and unless they're swerving us with the second swerve here,
right?
Yuta's not joining them. So you've got all ex WWE guys.
Yeah, and we're getting Yuta and Danielson versus Claudio and Pac in a tag match at Dynamite.
Right.
And you know, Yuta had this hammer to get them all away, and Moxie wanted him to hit him with it, but he wouldn't do it. So Majin says, it's Vincent Kenny McMahon, damn it. My own company kicked me out, so I'm over here now. I know you're joking. No, that's not going to happen, but I will say, if that was to ever happen, that'd be the last amount of AEW I ever watched.
You're fired.
And he says, this Dixie Carter, LMAO.
Last time I'm ever doing that.
Yeah, that sounded like it hurt a little bit.
I used to do a really good impersonation of him, but that was back when Sean and H were DX, you know, when they came out dressed as Vince and Shane and everything.
Well, we used to have fun bits on here about it till the allegations came out, and we had to scrap that for good reason. Mm-hmm. So,
it's Hunter Hearst Helmsley. By the way, I will say I did love he came out at Bad Blood, introduced a god awful looking, hideous eyesore of a title that means nothing.
Yeah, we're doing this again, like they did with that Royal Rumble, Battle Rumble thing Braun Strowman won years ago, that trophy.
Yeah, that vanished weeks after.
Stupid.
I love how he mentioned that, you know, he was down the way terrorizing WCW. I thought that was great. Yeah. Nice little shout out to his past there.
Sure.
It's Sean Hickenbottom. That's who's going to come in calling the shots for this group.
I think it's Shane O'Mac. I can't think of who else it'd be.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. John Cena.
The final boss. Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Brandi Rhodes. That's
what it's going to be. There we go. Brandi's mad.
And they're going to call them the Nightmare Collective. There we go. There we go. They're going to cut Marina's hair off. Figured it out, Paul. No. Billy Corgan is coming nowhere near AEW. That's another thing that happens. I'm not watching AEW ever again.
Titus.
Oh, God. Worst champion ever. I might have yelled that at Billy at the concert I saw him perform in. Now, you moron, you put the belt on Titus, even though he couldn't hear me.
So if Brandy's running this and we're going to call it the Nightmare Collective, does that mean we're going to get Luthad to come in and polish everybody's boots and
Brandy's yell and scream? Go around and who said it's open night, Mike, bitch? All she just say the whole time.
Yeah. And Luther's going to be going,
what a horrible idea that was.
They allowed her creative control, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
Never.
Oh, the good old startup days of AEW. Some great stuff and some just god awful stuff.
I miss the Elite.
Still so many unanswered questions. Maybe we'll find out someday in a book or something.
Nah. Cody will never talk about it.
Oh, I bet he will eventually. Down the road. Maybe not.
I don't know. After he retires from WWE and then goes back to AEW. And
you know, one time I thought that would happen. I'd never see him.
I don't.
AEW.
I don't. But hey, Tully Blanchard was at WWE last night. So
Good
anything's possible.
Yeah. I do think Cody Rhodes within the next, I'll give it a year and a half, turns heel in WWE.
Okay.
Yeah, year and a half. I'll give you a year and a half to do that. You're going to have to eventually.
So by April of 2026.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mania of 26.
42. Yeah, Mania 42. Yeah.
All right.
Because I will say, even though he's very popular, moves merch unlike any other, Roman got better reaction last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Although it was cool that the band that performed his theme song at a football game got to perform it last night.
The Arkansas Pine Bluff Band. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool. So, overall, Dynamite, since we didn't watch Collision in full, Dynamite, what's your rating for the 5th anniversary Dynamite?
You know, I'm torn. There were points where I really wanted to give it a really good rating. And then there were points where I really didn't want to give it a rating at all.
What point? Points were that?
When Mercedes was on TV.
Well, that's no fair. That's every week. She's your highest paid female talent. She's TBS champ. She's got to be on TV. You got to get over that call.
I know. I don't have to do anything, Tanner.
That's true. You don't have to.
Exactly. You should have to defend that title anytime a title's defended more than three titles are defended on a show, but you don't. So,
you know, I'm good with just the pay-per-views.
So I don't have to like Mercedes being on my TV screen ever.
Fair.
No, overall, I thought it was really good apart from her and maybe the learning tree.
And who remind me, and somebody in the chat can remind me too, who's she defending the TBS title against that WrestleDream?
I don't know if they've even said anybody.
Because she's got a match upcoming on Dynamite.
Yeah. I'm going to look it up real quick. Yeah,
I'm just blanking. I'm blanking. But I'll give my rating. I'll give my rating real quick for the show.
She's not listed.
She's not listed. Well, then that's going to be announced on Wednesday night, I guess.
Yeah, we currently have one pre-show match and 7 main card matches.
Okay. Did you give your number for the rating?
No, but 8-1.
Oh, you are higher than me. You are higher than me. I'm going 7-3.
Okay.
So okay. Solid show, nothing spectacular. At least we're getting a little more build up of a card. Over the weekend through Collision, we did find out, you know, Darby Allin gave we saw this on Dynamite. He gave a open challenge to anybody in the locker room. A lot of people thought maybe that was going to be Lashley or maybe it was going to be Jay White. That was before Jay White came out later in the night against Hangman because he was telling a story about kids with a knife and everything. Come to find out on Collision last night, Brody King accepted the challenge. So they're going to get a rubber match. Their rivalry goes way back. They're 1-1 against each other in AEW. So we're going to get match number 3 between those two. And I know Shep doesn't like the big guy versus little guy, but this is one of those scenarios that works for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we've talked about every match so far on WrestleDream, apart from the pre-show, 0 Hour, which is Atlantis Jr. Bryant Cage for the ROH World TV title.
Does nothing for me.
Nope.
Nothing.
Brian Cage getting another random title shot. As far as we know, because again, we don't watch ROH. Maybe there is a story behind it.
Right. Right. So. Another thing I want to mention on Collision. Saw Lance Archer laying waste to talents backstage. Callis approached him. Said, "Are you still managed by Jake Roberts?" Lance says yes and walked off. So that'd be an interesting addition to the Callis family, even though I'm so confused who's all part of the Callis family anymore and who's not.
Yes. There you go.
Is Roosh and his group still a member? Are they still members? I mean, they're all over the place.
Yeah. Everybody's part of the Callis family. It's like a company within a company.
And we did see Hologram extend his undefeated streak to 14-0 on Collision. So,
man, I'm so glad. So glad that Ricochet guy came over just to put on a mask and call himself Hologram.
Me too. Me too. Did you see Ricochet and Vikingo were in the same ring last night?
I did not.
Oh my God. You can just imagine.
Speaking of
those two, it was ridiculous.
Speaking of on the indies, okay, I sent you and Shep a screenshot that I got off of Facebook from my buddy that OVW was in Indiana this week. Kofi was there.
Okay, that was a show I saw that because I saw, I believe it was Brock Lesnar guy who we sat by at Dynamite. Two years ago, he goes a lot of indie shows in Chicagoland area, and he must have been at that one because he had a picture of he and Kofi Kingston at the indie event. So,
yep, cool. Yeah, because my buddy posted indie wrestler by the name of BD Smooth, hilarious guy. You should really look him up. But it said a picture of a young fan named Kofi with BD Smooth, and I went, wait a minute, that's Kofi Kingston.
I will say it's so cool that WWE is letting talent, maybe not necessarily wrestle on the indies, but at least go to the events now.
Yeah.
That's a step in the right direction.
And OVW is still kind of closely related in a sense to.
True.
At least to H.
So Juice Robinson behind me when he was the New Japan U.S. champion.
Yeah.
So.
Not
and Jay White behind me too.
Yeah,
when he was the world champion for New Japan.
Yes, back when Juice didn't quite look like the cereal guy, Honeycombs. That's it.
Majin, kind of a weak non-wrestling question for me as I was busy this weekend. Thoughts on your Avs? How your Avs will do this season, Tanner? I still think they're going to be very good. I think it's going to be similar to last year, though. I'm still worried about the goaltending. That's what did them in the playoffs, and I'm still nervous. And it's going to be the health of the team, too. I mean, McKinnon's your reigning MVP. He's going to be good. Landeskog should be coming back, which is big. He's been out the majority of the last 2 years. Makar's Makar. And they still got good pieces. It's just the guy between the pipes worries me. They haven't had that answer for a long time. So we will see. But it's crazy to think hockey's back already. I mean, hockey and the NBA feel like the two sports that end and turn around the season starting again. So
yeah, and you know, I remember, maybe I don't remember accurately, but it seems like you at least got through the playoffs of MLB before you got hockey.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
No, I think it used to be that way with that and the NBA, but now both are starting in October and when baseball's still going on. So,
Yeah.
Yeah, because baseball's got a pretty quick offseason too, but I don't know. Football is the one. It just seems like it takes forever after the season.
For
the new season to start, but it's also the most physical one, even though hockey's pretty damn physical too. And hockey players, in my opinion, don't get paid enough like other athletes. But
no, they should be paid more than football players. But that's a whole other podcast.
Yes, it is. Wrestler of the week, Paul, for you.
Oh man, there are a lot of good ones this week. But you know, I'm probably going to take yours and go returning Jay White.
All right. Let me see here. I'm going to go a team again 2 weeks in a row. Last week I went with the Bucks. This week I'm going Private Party.
All right.
Not only did they squash the Iron Savages, but they won the number one contenders match last night at Collision. Now they get the Bucks. Nice to see them healthy and in the tag title scene.
Yes. Yeah, we've been talking. I mean, even though we've never been real big fans of Private Party like we are some of the other wrestlers and some of the other teams, we've often said those guys deserve a shot at the titles.
Well, yeah, I thought they blew it with them early on. I thought they should have, you know, it's just like Proud and Powerful that for AEW have to never put the tag straps on them's an abomination. I mean,
yeah.
So.
But you put them on Les Ex Gods.
Yeah. Yeah. Did they?
I don't know.
No, I don't think they did.
I think they had something else at the time, but it, still, still, you push LaSix gods over these. Yes. And it was stupid.
Well, like a makeshift team of Big Bill and Ricky Starks had tag titles at one time instead of these.
Yeah.
So.
But I think that was to try to help keep Ricky in the company.
I don't know. I that's one that there's a lot of unanswered questions there that we might never know. So
yeah.
Majin, do you think we'll ever see the Stadium Stampede again? I miss it so damn much. I don't. I think the Anarchy in the Arena is the replacement for Stadium Stampede now. It was great when they could do it in the pandemic era. It filled a hole that we really needed at the time. I just don't. I mean, I guess they could do a cinematic match, but everybody's got to watch it, even the live crowd.
Yeah, that's the problem with cinematic matches.
Yeah,
is when you're there, you don't want to watch what you could be sitting at home watching.
They did what they needed to do back then.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, everybody, and myself included, when it happened, like even like you know Mania 36 doing cinematic matches and everything, where I was like, oh, this could be the future of wrestling. But once live crowds came back, it's like, nah, we can't do that. We can't expect a paying audience to sit there and watch the Tron for 15, 20 minutes. For us at home on the couch, no problem, but
right.
You got to take the live audience in consideration too. Yeah, they could combine it, Majin, like the last one. You're right. They could.
You're right. Yeah.
But yeah. No, I was a fan of those matches. Don't get me wrong. But
hey, it's Miro. Before he was
Miro, released, who
or before not, he asked not, for his release,
he's asked for it, but I have not heard or read anything since then of AEW granting that release by any means.
Yeah. So. Do you think the downfall for Miro was DJ Perry coming over to AEW?
I definitely don't think it helped. Yeah.
And then their marriage falling apart.
Yep. Yeah, that definitely didn't help.
Yeah.
Wait, is this the?
I saw Malachi.
Yeah, Malachi and Pack.
I'm trying to see
who the it's New Japan Talents, the other guy. That's why I didn't recognize who it was. For the international title.
Okay. Back when it was still the All Atlantic, wasn't it?
I think you're right. Yeah.
Because I think Pack was champion at this point, which would have made it the All Atlantic.
I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Good memory.
It was a stupid title name.
It was. Anything else you want to cover, Paul? I know it's a little shorter than normal. We're a little shorter than normal, but we got no Shep to ramble on tonight. So.
Oh, I can ramble on. I think there's a lot we could talk about. I think Wrestle Dream is going to be good.
Yeah.
I hope it's good. This is what, the second
one? Dream? Last year's was Adam Copeland's debut. So it was main evented by Christian against Darby.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we see any debuts? Since we're not doing bold predictions for extra points anymore, I'm interested to see if you think anybody. I just hope
there's no ties, I guess.
Part
of me really thinks we're going to get this payoff with whoever's pressing the buttons, and they're going to debut Saturday. Another part of me is like, nah, that's going to be like a World's End. They're going to play this thing off for two more months. So I'm going with Lashley. I'll go the easy one. I'll go Lashley debuts.
Okay. All right. Do you think he'll debut the same way the other two members of the Hurt Syndicate have, or do you think he'll get an in-ring debut?
I'd love to see him come in and wreck havoc on somebody or multiple people. Be the muscle right away.
Okay.
But I'm curious. Yeah. Whenever he comes, Swerve's going to be right behind coming back. I think MJF's going to be coming back soon. I think MJF's done with all his filming.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because he's active on Twitter. And one thing I will say with MJF, normally when he's not in the ring, he's not active.
Right. Got a question, non-wrestling question from Majin for you, Paul. Paul, which movie are you more excited for, Captain America, Brave New World, or Thunderbolt?
Oh man, this is tough. I don't know. I still haven't seen Deadpool versus Wolverine yet, so I'm most excited for that one. But I'm gonna go Brave New World. I don't know. It's just I'm interested to see how they do all this, because there's been a lot of hearsay and a lot of rumors about how Brave New World's gonna happen. So I'm interested to see what actually happens.
I got no opinion. I'm out on this one, so I'm leaving.
And of course, I'm most excited for Robert Downey Jr. showing up as Dr. Doom. I want to see how they pull that one off.
And for all the audio listeners, Majin says Red Hulk showing up in it definitely helps.
That is true. That is true. And that is not Hulk Hogan dressed in red, just so we're on the same page, Tanner.
Thank God.
I know you don't know what a Hulk is, so.
This is going to be a really dumb question, but has it got anything to do with the Incredible Hulk being red?
There you go.
See, I know Incredible Hulk.
It's the evil version of the Hulk, basically.
You know, I growing up, I watched a lot of the original Incredible Hulk on TV with Lou Ferrigno. My grandpa watched that, so I watched a lot of it. And then I remember my grandpa and I going to the first Hulk movie they came out with in theaters. Oh,
yeah.
But I need to rewatch it. I was so young at the time. I was in elementary school, I believe. I didn't understand it a lot. Yeah. I like the newer Hulk they came out with years later than that one.
Me too.
Yeah. So.
Me too.
Maj said anti-hero, but yes.
Okay. Yeah. You know. The Venom.
Yeah, Venom. Yep. Played by General Thunderbolt Ross, who's now Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Man, Harrison Ford's still going strong. What a guy.
Yes,
what a legend.
I think they'll be rolling him in on his deathbed to film a
finish filming. Clint Eastwood's pretty close. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else, Paul? Anything AEW related, WWE related, any other promotion you want to talk about before we wrap this up?
Let's talk about Abyss being behind the scenes for the Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah,
last night.
He's been a producer for WWE for a handful of years now. I was always a big fan of his work in TNA. Mm-hmm. He's a good producer. He might be the best they got.
Yeah.
And because that Hell in a Cell match that's what that feud needed. McIntyre Punk, they finally delivered in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
And,
finally.
It'll be interesting to see where both guys go from here.
Mm-hmm. So, any other big takeaways from Bad Blood that you really
The
enjoyed?
Rock. I mean, The Rock. I mean, come on. The Rock's back.
Jimmy's back.
You know, I figured The Rock was going to be back because there was a report that he was going to be in Georgia anyways for some other things. So, but it was cool to see him show up on a quote unquote B pay-per-view. And it just leaves a lot of questions that you want answered. Like, where's this bloodline thing going? Was he happy about what happened? Was he pissed? Now on his IG, he went live right after and I was watching it because I happened to be on IG right after and I saw him live. I don't think he was happy about what transpired between Cody and Roman. And then we also see on social media, Cody get attacked by Kevin Owens, which is good. I really hope Kevin Steen comes to All Elite Wrestling 2025, but I don't know if he will. I've come to the conclusion. I think AEW is doing a better job telling stories than they used to. I think they, Swerve Hangman, one of the best stories they've ever told. Like when they really focus on it, they do a great job.
Absolutely.
I've come to the realization AEW is where the best wrestle. It is where the best wrestling matches you're going to watch.
Mm-hmm.
WWE is more story. They're the more the characters, the storyline. Like the main event, was it the greatest tag match I've ever seen last night? No, not by any means. Pretty much far from it. But just the story behind with the characters and then The Rock returning and it gets the ball rolling for WrestleMania season 5 months beforehand. It's they got that power that AEW doesn't yet, but AEW is only a 5-year-old company. So,
right.
But really Bad Blood, besides the opener and the close, I thought was a pretty meh show. I, you know, we tease a lot about Bill Goldberg, but I can't believe they might get one more match out of Bill Goldberg. I just don't see why and where he fits in. But whatever.
If he's in Sammy's corner tomorrow night, then that's going to tell you he's going to be involved at some point.
I think they've teased it too much for him not to have a match against Gunther down the road somewhere. Maj and AEW's top stories have the same thing in common. They involve Hanger. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hangman Page. You're right.
Yeah. You're right.
And supposedly Will Washington, who works for AEW, used to work for Fightful. He wrote that story of Swerving Hangman. So credit to Will. So Tony's got people that helps him creatively. A lot of people don't think so. He's got a lot of people he can rely on to help with creative. So
he's just got that final say. So, you know, it's kind of what he wants to see.
Yep.
But he's more open now than he used to be, in my opinion, when it comes to different storylines. It may not be exactly what he wanted.
Yep. Yep. So, but it's a fun time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, talking about being a wrestling fan, Logan and I were talking, last night or earlier today. I don't remember which. Oh, it was last night, 'cause they were showing some upcoming stuff on Raw. And, you know, you've got the Intercontinental title, you've got Gunther versus Sammy for the title. And he's like, well, why are they having such big matches on Raw? I said, because this is the first 2-hour Raw in like 15 years.
Yeah, they want to make the Raws feel bigger. And that was one of my complaints, I guess, about last night was I'm fine with, you know, if they want to go to a 5 or 6 match pay-per-view card, you don't need to make it last 3.5 hours then if it's a 5-match card.
No, it was.
That's my complaint.
And the pay-per-view before that was only 4 or 5 matches.
Oh, I think they're definitely going that route for the non-big four.
Yeah,
absolutely. And speaking of that, you know, we know starting next year, SummerSlam is going to be a 2-nighter.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be long before Royal Rumble's a 2-nighter, which I think that one makes sense. Do the that guys Royal Rumble one night, women's on the other. That makes sense. And then Survivor Series is going to be a 2-nighter. They're going to do all 4 big ones, 2-nighters, because like it or not, I mean, it's very expensive to go to both, but it probably gives some fans a chance to go to one night, maybe not 2. It gives them a chance to go one night, though. And at the end of the day, it's a business, and WWE can capitalize on more money. That's all. That's all it's about at the end of the day. So,
yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, that is a good point, because, like, with Survivor Series, again, you do your women's war game or your women's Survivor Series match one night, your men's the second night, or vice versa, or whatever. There are a lot of things that you can do 2 nights.
Yep.
The only thing that I worry about is we're going to start getting kind of that feel of, again, Raw versus SmackDown at the big four. That's my fear.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever go back to the days where you have brand exclusive pay-per-views. I think those days are done.
No, gone. and with tonight, you could. Sorry. No, pay-per-views. And with 2-night pay-per-views, you could, for the big four, you could have your Raw titles defended one night, your SmackDown titles defended the other night, and then kind of have a mix of other matches in between. So that way, if you are a Raw fan over a SmackDown fan, you could tune in just to watch the titles you want to watch be defended.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, they got a lot of big shows coming up. They have Crown Jewel. They got Survivor Series.
Crown Jewel, where we go 5 times a year now, it seems like.
Yep. They got the Raw on Netflix, which they're going to make feel like a pay-per-view. Before that, they got Saturday Night's Main Event. Then you got Rumble. Then you're going to have Mania. So they got a lot of big stuff coming up. And I'm anxious to see what AEW's full pay-per-view calendar is going to look like next year and where they're going to be holding a lot of their events.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be...
We already know some, but...
And, you know, here's another thing that I was thinking of, as you said, Raw on Netflix, and I forgot to bring it up earlier. AEW simulcasting on Max is a brilliant idea, because... Mm-hmm. We are getting to that point where even streaming services like Hulu and YouTube TV are getting ridiculously priced.
Yes.
And I personally know I there's not a whole lot on TV that I watch anymore that I can't find on a streaming service, and I could get the four big streaming services for the same price I'm paying for YouTube TV.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And there are those people who only have streaming services, so now they're going to be able to watch AEW when they couldn't before.
Well, and like, you know, if I'm AEW, like if people go on to Max and watch the Andre the Giant documentary, you better make sure that you're the program that pops up and said you might be interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, I'm not a big ratings guy. No. And this should help kill the ratings war a little bit until the day Nielsen starts rating the streaming sites instead. Because you know that day's coming eventually.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if you're looking into the ratings, AEW's ratings are going to take a hit next year. Because so many people are going to watch it on Max, not on TNT and TBS. But in the back of your mind, if you're big on that stuff, you got to keep that in mind. They're reaching a bigger audience.
But at the same time, if you want to look at the ratings, Raw then is completely out the window because they'll be exclusively on Netflix.
Right.
So if you're going to take Raw into consideration, then you've got to take Max for AEW into consideration, where you're going to get that much bigger audience.
Exactly. And you've seen on SmackDown, SmackDown's taking ratings hit going back to USA Network from Fox. I mean, it's broadcast and cable. I mean, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Or network and cable, excuse me, it's different. So,
yeah,
yep. But
we are in an age where ratings are dead. Let's stop comparing. It's not Monday Night Wars.
I roll my eyes at so much of the IWC just focusing on ratings. At the end of the day, the only people that focus on ratings are ad buyers.
No. I mean, and again, TK has said from day one, it's a competition, but we're not out here to beat them every single week in the ratings. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Right.
They're doing just fine. They got another TV deal. They got, you know, a streaming deal. They got plenty of ad buyers.
They're going to be profitable.
Yeah. I mean, and they give us the one thing that WWE doesn't do, unless it's a big feel match, which is picture in picture.
So they're doing just fine as the alternative. That's all you can ask for.
Exactly.
I often wonder where my fandom, if I would even still be a fan of pro wrestling in 2024 if AEW didn't come along in 2019. I don't know. I really don't know.
I sit here and I actually was thinking about this the other day because I'm the one who got Logan into wrestling. But it was more once AEW started, you know, I played the games. Yeah. I tuned in occasionally, but a lot of times WWE was, and still is, background noise for me.
Yep.
Because I looked at the Bad Blood card and I went, okay, here's your winners.
Yep. Yep.
It's too easy. And the only one I got wrong was Hell in the Cell. I figured Drew would come away victorious there. I was wrong.
Yeah, I know. I keep up with some of my favorites, like Cody Rhodes, see what he's doing. But, you know, I will tune in every year for Rumble and Mania. Those are the two. There's years I haven't watched SummerSlam. I usually try to tune in, but Rumble, Mania, I'm not missing. I don't care. I'm not missing those. And hopefully I'm at Rumble this upcoming year. Hopefully. We'll see. In Indianapolis, tickets are not going to be cheap, but we'll see. I'm trying to tell myself.
No.
It's never came to Indianapolis. Who knows how long it's going to be till it comes back to Indianapolis. That's what I'm trying to. I'm trying to convince my wife that buy me for Christmas. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
Good luck, because I saw cheap tickets for a Raw on November 25th, I think it was like $200 for a ticket.
Well, the good news about Lucas Oil is they can fit usually three venues that Raw's hosted in into that venue. So
$200 for a ticket in the middle of the end of November. Already $200 for that.
Well, the reason they're doing it is because they can sell them. I mean, people are buying them. It's crazy, but I mean that's where if I was in charge of AEW, I would price my tickets down lower to when they start. I mean, there's a lot of good. Like for instance, you know, we're gonna try to go to the December 4th Dynamite in Fishers, Indiana. You, me, Shep, maybe our buddy Pluggo from Between Two Beards, and there's a lot of affordable tickets. Don't get me wrong, some good seats for affordable price. But I know we might have a good chance to wait till the week before the week of to grab them, because that's what a lot of people did at Grand Slam, because AEW finally lowered them to get the attendance up. I don't know why they don't start off with that method. I get trying to make money, but also you can get more families to go, create lifelong fans. in those kids and things like that. I think they are getting better at their local promotion for shows, mm-hmm. but and their merch looks better all of a sudden. I've seen pictures at live events, but if they can just get their prices down, because some people can't go to WWE because they WWE outprices themselves to certain people and families. But at the same time, the reason they're pricing that like they are is because all of a sudden, for the most part, they are selling out wherever they go. It's pretty crazy. They're hot. They're white hot mm-hmm. right now. So,
yeah.
Or Juan on YouTube said, or just, or how about going to smaller venues? And they're, I think they're starting to do that too.
Yeah.
A little bit. But yeah. Yeah. You just go to smaller, intimate venues where you can sell out and makes it look really good on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And margin ratings also don't take an account right away. Anyways, those who PVR it for later or DVR it, over 1 million people watch it weekly. The vast majority are recorded though. Yeah. And social media numbers too.
Yeah.
And yep. Steffi corrected him. DVR module.
Yep. Yep. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul. So, good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah. It is definitely, you know, we say this every week, but it is a great time to be a wrestling fan.
It is. It is. You can, if you want to watch pro wrestling every day of the week or every night, you can.
Yeah.
I know if you're like Paul or I, we get pretty busy with our lives. You kind of got to pick and choose what you watch.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And I, you know, I don't mind DVRing something and then sure. rewatching it. I try to watch Dynamite live
yep.
When I can, which yep. is most Wednesdays. Yep. But there's that occasional, hey, something came up. There's the kids got something, work something, you know.
A Rampage is usually a DVR for me if I watch it at all. Collision this time of year is usually a DVR for me on during football season, to be honest. But
mm-hmm.
Dynamite, I'm usually tuning in on Wednesday nights, if not right at the live time later on in the night, if I can. And I'll be honest, I usually flip over to Monday Night Raw once in a while on Monday to see what's going on. But I don't usually tune into SmackDown very often on Friday nights. So
no,
not live.
My wife and I were even talking about this, that, you know, once this starts in 2025, we may just eliminate YouTube TV
and
go Netflix and Max, because there's bundle deals with Max where you get Hulu and Disney Plus and Max for like $30 a month. Okay, that's $10 a month for each one, commercial free. And then Netflix, I'm still spending less money.
Yep.
And I don't watch SmackDown all that often anyway.
Yep. Yeah, there's definitely, it seems like the streaming, planning out the streaming services, everything's happening more and more every year.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, yeah.
Majin here real quick before we wrap it up. You know, Tanner is a winner, and I like that. Thank you. Appreciate that. But Paul and I seem to have a lot of shared interests that Tanner and I don't. Might have to change.
Hey, you know what? I may not win.
No coming all back, the time. Majin. If you leave, no coming back.
Remember, Majin, when this first started, you were a big fan of the Unwise Man, and then you became a fan of the Tanner because the Tanner was the winner, and you kicked me to the curb. Just saying, you should have kept, should have stayed with me.
All I'm saying, Majin, 371 days and counting, and I don't plan on the belt going anywhere next weekend at WrestleDream. So that's all I'm saying.
And for 371 days and counting, I've been holding on to that title. Actually, I had it longer.
It is yours forever. So.
Yeah, I think I've actually had it longer than that, because I think I won it, and then when I lost is when you got the new title.
No, I actually ordered the new title this year. 2024. So I got that from Shep at WrestleDream last year. When the new title came in, I handed it over to you.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
Yes.
You know, all
fair love and war.
We've been doing this since
2021. January of 2021.
So for almost 4 years, I've been the people's champion. So there you go.
Majin, shipping it up to Canada is expensive. Just saying.
It is.
Maybe someday. Maybe we'll do a listener viewer challenge someday.
Maybe that'd be fun.
Paul, unless you got anything else, wrap the show up for us, my friend.
I don't. So I will wrap this. Be sure to follow the Kicking Out Podcast on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Be sure to check out kickingoutshop.com. It is your place to go for a great merchandise, support a great podcast, and look absolutely fantastic doing so. And be sure to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. And if that happens to be Apple Podcasts, leave us that 5-star review because we are 5-star KOP. Be sure to follow your 371 days and counting KOP predictions champion, Tanner Lee, at TannerLee92. Be sure to follow the missing Austin Shepherd at the Shep 27, I think is what it is. I don't remember it off the top of my head.
You got it.
Okay. And be sure to follow myself at Paul Zarpin 87. And with that, for the missing Austin Shepherd and Tanner Lee, I'm Paul Zarpin. Join us again next week as we kick out yet another podcast.